the weight of this world, and I know that you can give me rest. So I cry out with all that I have left. Let me see redemption win. Let me know the struggle ends, that you can mend a heart that's frail.
Surround me, I yearn for peace and rest. I don't want to end up where you found me, and it echoes in my mind, keeps me awake tonight. I know you've cast my sin as far as the east is from the west, and I stand before you now as though I've never sinned. But today I feel like I'm just one mistake away from you leaving me this way. Jesus, can you show me just how far the east is from the west? 'Cause I can't bear to see the man I've been rising up in me again. In the arms of your mercy I find rest. 'Cause you know just how far the east is from the west, from one scarred hand to the other. I start the day the war reminding of my sin. Time and time again, your truth is drowned out by the storm I'm in. Today I feel like I'm just one mistake away from you leaving me this way. Jesus, can you show me just how far the east is from the west? 'Cause I can't bear to see the man I've been come rising up in me again. In the arms of your mercy at my rest, 'cause you know just how far the east is from the west. Once God handed the other, turn my darkness into light. I need your peace to get me through, to get me through this night. I can't live by what I feel, but by the truth your word reveals. I'm not holding on to you, but you're holding on to me. Just how far the east is from the west. I don't have to see the man I've been rising up in me again. In the arms of your mercy at my rest, but you know just how far the east is from the west. One scarred hand to the other, set a prisoner free. There is no end to what its power can do. So let it go and be amazed by what you see through eyes of grace. The prisoner that it really frees is you. Forgiveness.
everyone. I hope each of you have had a truly blessed week. I want to thank all of you for tuning in today to The Hope Show. Today's message was inspired by a Bible study that I was doing earlier this week that came from Joyce Myers. It occurred to me through her studies that the vast majority of all people have experienced broken relationships in one form or another throughout their life. We keep asking ourselves what is wrong with this world, when it's really no wonder if we think about it. Overall, we are all unhealthy and oftentimes dysfunctional, and that's as a society as well. Perhaps you come from a broken family, have lost friendships throughout the years, or experienced a relationship breakup with your boyfriend, girlfriend, or spouse. Perhaps you've experienced more than one breakup with your boyfriend or girlfriend throughout the course of your life, before we settle on one or eventually give up and decide that we'd rather be by ourselves. It only takes one really bad relationship to make you skittish when the next relationship comes along. Yet some people never giving up on the hope of finding that one true love out there, that one Mr. or Mrs. Right. And then they sometimes, you know, they'll get it right and they'll find that Mr. or Mrs. Right, but oftentimes they end up experiencing more than one failed relationship. I believe that the more pain and the more heartache you've experienced in your relationships, the more skeptical that you become of your next relationship or meeting and finding new friends. What happens is that we end up bringing a lot of excess baggage into our relationships. They're left over from unresolved issues in the past relationships. We take certain things out on the person that we are in the new relationship with. The new person ends up paying the price for the last person's mistakes, even though they haven't done anything wrong. It can be a vicious cycle that can leave both parties feeling frustrated, confused, disoriented, and in doubt, just to name a few. So today's message is going to be about overcoming your past relationships, moving on, dealing with the hurt and the heartache, and learning how to forgive. This is part of the Joyce Myers study that inspired me to do today's message. East and West can never meet. This is a symbolic portrait of God's forgiveness. When He forgives our sin, He separates it from us and doesn't even remember it. We need never to wallow in the past, for God forgives and forgets. We tend to dredge up the ugly past, but God has wiped our record clean. If we are to follow God, we must model His forgiveness. When we forgive ourselves and another person, we must also forget the sin or the wrong done. Otherwise, we have not truly forgiven. In Psalms 103:12, it says, He has removed our sins as far from us as the east is from the west. Therefore, we must also remove the sins of ourselves and the sins of others from our mind thus far as well, as far as the east is from the west. That's quite a distance, folks. It can be very difficult and seemingly impossible to get over the heartache and the scars left behind from failed relationships, but in reality, it's not impossible. It just takes a lot of work, but it's not impossible. During these times, we should fall back on Philippians 4:13, which says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What a blessed assurance, folks, for any situation that we have faced or will face in our future. God strengthens us to do what we must do. All we have to do is ask Him. Knock and the door will be opened. Brothers and sisters, if you are struggling with a past failed relationship, ask God to help you get through it. Get beyond it. Move on and forgive those who have wronged you. Does that seem all too simple? Maybe you have asked, and you haven't received an answer yet. It's all in God's timing. I do know one thing for sure. God brings people in our lives for a reason and a season. Yes, even folks that will ultimately hurt us. In Christ we find purpose for the pain, and strength for the struggle. I want to read you this poem that is probably one of my favorites, and I fall back on it quite often. As I read this, I want you to really, really give it some thought. As I said, I refer back to it quite often, and it puts things into proper perspective for me sometimes, and so I hope that it will for you too, and I hope you'll enjoy it as much as I do. People come into your life for a reason, a season, or a lifetime. When you figure out which one it is, you will know what to do for each person. When someone is in your life for a reason, it is usually to meet a need that you have expressed. They have come to assist you through a difficulty, to provide you with guidance and support, to aid you physically, emotionally, or spiritually. They may seem like a godsend, and they are. They are there for the reason you need them to be. Then, without any wrongdoing on your part, or at an inconvenient time, this person will say or do something to bring the relationship to an end. Sometimes they die. Sometimes they just walk away. Sometimes they act up and they force you to take a stand. What we must realize is that our need has been met. Our desire has been fulfilled. Their work is done. The prayer you sent up has been answered, and now it is time to move on. Some people come into your life for a season because your turn has come to share, grow, or learn. They bring you an experience of peace or make you laugh. They may teach you something you have never done. They usually give you an unbelievable amount of joy. And believe it, it is real, but only for a season. Lifetime relationships teach you lifetime lessons. Things you must build upon in order to have a solid emotional foundation. Your job is to accept the lesson, love the person, and put what you have learned to use in all your other relationships and areas of your life. It is said that love is blind, but friendship is clairvoyant. This poem is by an unknown author. Every single person who comes in and out of your life is part of your experience for a specific reason. Even battles can be turned into lessons. Folks, let me assure you that where you are today is no accident. God is using the situation you're in right now to shape you and prepare you for the place He wants to bring you into tomorrow. Trust God with His plan for your life, even if you don't understand it. You may be saying to yourself right now, I've been through a lot in my life. Why did God let me go through these awful things? Why didn't He do something about it? It's not God's fault that sometimes things go terribly wrong in our lives. Sometimes we have no one to blame but ourselves. Maybe we thought we knew what was best for us. Maybe we let our heart override our common sense. Maybe we didn't want to hear or listen to that small voice trying to tell you that you were making a bad choice. You can't blame God for those such things. God wants only good things for you, and He works all things out for the greater good for those who listen. Have you been listening to that small inner voice? Who are you really upset with? Yourself? The other person who wronged you? God? Maybe all of the above? Your peace is far more important than anything that makes you mad or makes you hurt. Allowing anger, resentment, bitterness, and unforgiveness to fester and fuel up inside us paves the way for more sin, more anguish, less happiness, less joy, less peace. Focus instead on what God wants for you and your relationship rather than the wrong that has been done to you. Because as I said earlier, your peace is far, far more important than harboring hurt and pain and resentment, anger, bitterness, and unforgiveness in your heart. Fellow brothers and sisters, we are fragile human beings, but God's care is eternal. We have an awesome God who examines our lives, remembers our human condition, and knows our every weakness. But our weakness should never justify our actions, our words, or our deeds. It should never be used as an excuse to stay in the past, to stay unhealthy, to give up trying and striving for better. God's mercy and grace takes all things into account, and He deals with us, each and every one, compassionately. Are you suffering from a relationship or several relationships that have left you scarred from a painful breakup? Though I know you must have lived it and relived it in your mind 1,000 times, as I too have done in the past, it is worth re-examining the relationship, but not to linger on the pain, but to learn from the experience with the hopes that your next relationship will be much healthier. Think about the poem I read earlier. For good or bad, all people come into our lives for a reason, a season, or a lifetime. Re-examine what was going on in your life at that time that the relationship was going on. Re-examine your family life growing up. Psychologists say that oftentimes an unresolved issue with a parent of the opposite gender will cause you to try to unconsciously resolve these past issues with a mate. The studies show that a woman will, unbeknownst to her, be attracted to a man that is similar in some way to her father and will try to relive that experience through a mate in an attempt to resolve something that was wrong as a child. Also, the same is true for a man. If a man has an unresolved issue with his mother, then he will most likely, without even knowing what he's doing, will seek a woman who is very similar to his own mother to attempt the right that the wrong was done in childhood. As an example of this, if you are always seeking your mother or father's approval, and you can never do enough to meet their approval, you will seek that approval from your mate. If your parents always berated you and belittled you as a child, you may grow up with insecurity and a low self-esteem, and you might seek out a mate to validate your worth. From these examples, you can probably derive even more examples. The pitfall for all of these situations is the stark reality that you cannot go back in your past and resolve such issues with your parents or anyone else for that matter. But, you know, you can't, like I said, I lost my train of thought for a second, folks, but you can't go, that's the stark reality, you cannot go back into your past and resolve such issues with your parents or anyone else now that you're an adult. And we have to remember that our mate is not our parent, but is a very unique individual with their own needs and wants, goals and dreams. Your relationships are only as healthy as the two people in the relationship. Let me repeat that. Your relationships are only as healthy as the two people in the relationship. If one or both of you come into the relationship already emotionally broken, the relationship is probably doomed right from the beginning, unless both of you wake up and realize what is going on and make every attempt to turn it around and become two healthy individuals for the greater good of that relationship. Both of you must leave past relationships in the past where they belong. Learn from them, but move on. I'm going to stop here for a short break and play a few songs before I continue with today's show. The first one here is from Celine Dion, and it's called Taking Chances.
Don't know much about your life. Don't know much about your world, but don't wanna be alone tonight on this planet they call Earth. figured out, and maybe this is going too fast, and maybe it's not meant to last. But what do you say to taking chances? What do you say to jumping off the edge? Never knowing if there's solid ground.
Blue-eyed girl in my homeroom class, trying to find the courage to ask her out was like trying to get oil from a water spout. What she would have said, I can't say. I never did ask, but she moved away. But I learned something from my blue-eyed girl. Sink or swim, you gotta give it a whirl. Life's a dance, you learn as you go. Sometimes you lead, sometimes you follow. Don't worry about what you don't know. Life's a dance, you learn as you go. The longer I live, the more I believe. You do have to give if you want to receive. There's a time to listen, a time to talk, and you might have to crawl. Had your things blown up in my face. Seen the long shot win the race. Been knocked down by the slamming door. Picked myself up and came back for more. Life's a dance, you learn as you go. Sometimes you lead, sometimes you follow. Don't worry about what you don't know. Life's a dance, you learn.
Welcome back to the Hope Show, folks. Thank you, everyone, for joining me today. Today's message was inspired by a Bible study I was doing earlier this week that came from Joyce Myers. Today's message is about overcoming past relationships, moving on, dealing with the hurt and the heartache, and learning how to forgive. For some people, it is easier to move on from broken relationships, yet for others, it can seem nearly impossible. Broken relationships can scar a person for life. It can make a person fearful to try again or to trust again. People can harbor depression, anger, bitterness, resentment, anxiety, and be unable to forgive the person who wronged them. A person can experience insecurity, low self-esteem, and have abandonment issues. For those of you that are dealing with broken relationship right now, I'm sure you could add many more things to this list. It is quite possible that there are a few things that are more confused, or excuse me, it is quite possible that there are few things that are more confusing and emotional than love. Without a doubt, love has ruined many lives, yet also made more happiness than most could ever imagine. Relationships are very complex indeed. Sometimes, after you experience a truly painful, serious breakup, you feel as if your heart has literally been ripped from your chest. You feel as if you've cried a million tears and that the well from your eyes has simply dried up. You feel like an empty shell, devoid of emotion and feeling. You feel as if the world has ended and you will never be whole again, that something was torn away from you, that something is missing. Sometimes you feel as if it's all your fault. Perhaps that's what you were told. You berate yourself, and you become even more depressed. Let me remind you, folks, it takes two to make a relationship. You are not fully responsible. You are not totally to blame. Sometimes all these emotions and thoughts turn to pure, unbridled anger. Our whole pattern for thinking and behaving can be distorted. This can lead you into thinking or believing such things as, I can't trust any man or woman ever again. Perhaps you will engage in such behavior as telling the world, I don't need no man or woman in my life. Or here, this is the all-time classic, all women or men are just trash. All men and women are clumped into one category, which is bad. Of course that is not true, but that is oftentimes the mindset that we have after a really bad breakup. What message does that send to society after breakups? Then you multiply that by millions of people. See where I'm going with this? Before you know it, the world has millions of dysfunctional people living in its midst. People are angry, confused, untrusting, cynical, bitter, and so on. Everybody wonders why people have these huge chips on their shoulders. The messages that you receive from yourself or others support your decision to remain stuck in your circumstances. Don't you just wish some days that you could just look at yourself in the mirror and say, enough is enough? If this is the case for you, then there is one thing you must do. You have to realize that your own faulty thinking and destructive behaviors have played a part in your inability to move on and develop better attitudes toward relationships. Folks, this is the cold, hard truth. You know, and I'm sorry if the cold, hard truth hurts. But that is the cold, hard truth, folks. You have to realize that in some cases your own faulty thinking and destructive behavior play a part in your inability to move on. When you can't move beyond your hurts and pains, you're giving them control over your life. You are empowering them to wreak havoc with your life. No one can give anything permission to do anything over your life but you. When you realize that you are standing in your own way for recovery, then you can start to truly step out of the way of yourself and your own self-destruction and mend your mind and your heart and work towards stepping up to becoming happy, healthy, and whole again. Proverbs 15:13 says, "A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken." It is not only people who suffer from broken relationships in their adult life that suffer from those broken relationships, as I said earlier. Many adults are overcoming pain of growing up in dysfunctional families, too. According to research, when people experience continuous, painful experiences in their life, they develop a kind of survival system of unhealthy, compulsive thinking and behaviors to avoid dealing with the pain and try to establish some sort of control, thinking that it keeps them safe, secure, and healthy. But in reality, this system only makes things worse for the individual. I want to give you some examples of this. Perhaps you can relate to one or more of these feelings. When some people go through too many painful relationship experiences, some will choose to develop a mindset where they vow not to confess their true feelings out of fear of being used, taken for granted, or abused. Some will vow never to share that part of themselves again with another human being. And this is accomplished by avoiding those feelings. Potential dating candidates may be genuine in asking the man or woman that they are with, asking them questions in an effort to get to know them better. But the person has been hurt so much, they refuse to open up. Some people will vow to never let a man or woman hurt them in such a way ever again and keep genuine potential candidates for dating at a long, long arm's distance away. Some men or women will do genuinely good things for another person, but the hurt person will show little to no appreciation or emotion for the other person's efforts. All too often, bad experiences will teach people to behave in such a way that they appear bulletproof. This is a fear-based control compulsion that some people develop to falsely convince themselves that they are stable. So long as bad things aren't allowed to happen to them, they will remain in control of their life. This is what they think. Then there are other people who develop a passive-aggressive way of control. These people will allow women and men to get close to them, but it is only to suit his or her own needs. They interact positively toward the other person, but never allow themselves to attach in any emotional closeness to the other person. These people want from other people, but can't give in return. It's almost like an addiction. They are seeking something, but they can't fully quite let go of their past to allow themselves to become vulnerable with another person. In this situation, the relationship lacks true intimacy because the person who was hurt will not allow the other person completely into their lives. These people do not want to reveal or show their deepest feelings. They do not want to lose the thread of control that they think they have over their life. But eventually the dreadful reality will kick in. Some people find themselves in an emotional collapse. They're sitting home alone because they have avoided their feelings, avoided the fact that they have a basic need for wanting to be close to someone, to have a connection with the opposite sex. They desire love again in their lives. They desire to have a meaningful relationship again. But due to their own choice to avoid these feelings to protect themselves, all they have truly developed is a prolonged loneliness. This is what happens when you let bad past relationships control you. When relationships end, the ability to fully move on only starts when the door of that relationship is completely closed. You have to find closure, or you will never be able to move on. Relationships are all about risk-taking. No matter what, when a person goes out in search for a good, healthy relationship, they must know that becoming vulnerable is a requirement. It is not optional, folks. It's a requirement. If you want a healthy relationship, you have to become vulnerable to that other person. Take a chance. Take a risk. It won't work if you don't. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. The relationship will not work if you don't open up. This is not promise that every new person you meet will be the right one. But at least you can say that you are honest with yourself, open, and willing to try. Sometimes this takes some practice on the road to recovery. But with more practice and determination to recover, You can break the cycle of pain by being honest and learning to become a little vulnerable. When you are able to do this, emotional intimacy will come. One day, you will begin to trust again, starting with yourself. You will find that you are more willing to get close to someone who has earnestly tried to earn your trust. What happens, though, when the other person isn't the problem at all? What happens when the problem is you? Sometimes people learn to develop, encourage, and support their own self-destruction. Let me say that again. Sometimes people learn to develop, encourage, and support their own self-destruction. In order to get out of the mode of being stuck, we have to have a change in our behavior and in our beliefs. And it all starts with how we think. First, I suggest letting it all go and giving it to God. He is more than capable of handling any and all of our problems. Let His love, grace, and mercy be your guide. In John 4:18, the Bible says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear. For fear has to do with punishment. And whosoever fears has not been perfected in love." Let me read that one more time, folks. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whosoever fears has not been perfected in love. That's a very powerful verse, folks. I want you to think on that for a while as I take another short break. And this song is going to be "Fear is Easy, Love is Hard" by Jason Gray.
Turn on the TV for the evening news. They got plenty of fear and nothing to do. Another somebody who's gone too far makes you wanna put up your guard. Fear is easy, love is hard. So we draw up another dividing line. We label each other and we choose a side. Peace could come at quite a cost. Won't build a bridge across. Fear is easy, but love is hard. Fear will leave you hiding in the dark, but love will bring a light into your heart. So do not be afraid. Could have said, but she wouldn't listen even if he did. They'll die without forgiveness soon, but no one wants to make a move. Fear is easy, love is hard. Fear will leave you hiding in the dark, but love will bring a light into your heart. So do not be place. Shouting devils are a still small voice. One is spreading fear and dread over love, as always said. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid.
Welcome once again for joining me on the Hope Show today. It's been a pretty amazing show so far. If you have missed the first part, then you can go back in a few hours once my pod has been uploaded to my podcast page on www.shazizradio.com and listen to the entire show at your convenience. I would also like to take a moment to remind you that I have launched a new program entitled Dear Hope. You can submit letters to me in confidence. You can remain anonymous. If you have anything troubling going on in your lives and you need someone to talk to, I am here for you. Just send me an email message to bjmiller342000@yahoo.com and I will get back to you as soon as I can. It will definitely be within the same day and more likely than not within a few hours. If any of you would like to share something with me, it doesn't have to be something troubling in your lives. If you just want to say hi, send me an email message at bjmiller342000@yahoo.com. I look forward to hearing from you. You can also find this link if you go to my podcast page on www.shazizradio.com and look for the quill pen picture and then click on that. At the end of my show, I will be joined by my husband Shaziz and I'll be opening the call lines for anyone who would like to call in and share something with us. So be thinking if something is being placed on your heart, if you're feeling led to call in, and please do so when I cue you when it is that time. Today's message is about overcoming past relationships, moving on, dealing with the hurt and the heartache, and learning how to forgive. Today's message was inspired by a Bible study that I was doing earlier this week that was from Joyce Myers. I believe it is a very worthy topic for here on the Hope Show, because I know that there are many of you out there all over the world who have or are experiencing breakups. I'm sure many of you have moved on, but I'm equally sure that there are just as many of you who can't seem to get over it, and you are stuck right where you are. Perhaps you just don't know where to turn, what to do about your situation. Perhaps you're still in denial. Perhaps you've moved on to another stage, pure anger or bitterness. Or maybe you've come to the realization of exactly where you are, and you're desperately seeking a solution to becoming healthy, happy, and whole again. I believe that this message has something for everyone at whatever stage of recovery that you find yourself right now. Dysfunctional family life and romantic attraction are two very complex and often problematic concepts. If we are a child and we're living in a dysfunctional family, we may not have too much to say about what happens to us. But in other relationships, we are physically drawn to a certain look and or a certain style or type. In the beginning, normally, things begin as something physical, and then it evolves into something emotional. As we become more aware of a person's character and personality. But what is it that specifically draws us to some and yet not others? As I said earlier, psychologists believe that our parents play a role in what we become and who we are attracted to in the later years of our life. As children, we formed the idea of what love was by watching and interacting with our mom and dad. This creates our love template or pattern, if you will, for understanding love and relationships. One of the greatest mysteries about human attraction is that we are generally drawn to people who remind us of our mother and father. And I know that many of you out there are probably disagreeing with me right now, and that's okay, but maybe if you think, you know, a little bit harder, maybe you will actually see some similarities. It would be great if we were only attracted to the best parts of our parents. However, the human psyche does not operate that way. Our conscious self is drawn to the positive qualities that we yearn for, but our unconscious draws us to qualities which remind us of how we were wounded the most. Let me say that again. Our conscious self is drawn to the positive qualities that we yearn for. But our unconscious draws us to qualities which remind us of how we were wounded the most. This explains some of why we get so awkward and momentarily insecure around people whom we are intensely attracted to. There are several reasons why we gravitate toward people who remind us of our parents' qualities, both the good and the bad. One reason is that the actions and behaviors are familiar to us, and we feel at ease even being around the negative qualities. It's what we know. Other research indicates that people might be attempting to resolve old childhood hurts and betrayals. Sounds crazy? Perhaps. But think of your own childhood for a moment. Now think of what type of parents you had. How did they behave toward one another? How did they behave toward you? What was your template? What was your role model? Your pattern? Now think of the type of, the type of relationship that they had. Was it genuine? Was it loving and respectful? Or was it rocky and full of turmoil? And how did they make you feel? Now think about the people you have chosen in your life to be in a relationship with. If you were to be completely honest with yourself, I bet that you can find that there were similarities in some form or fashion to one of your parents. If both of our parents were loving, kind, and attentive, then normally we don't have too much to worry about. However, if one or both of your parents were not this way, then you might find yourself having problems finding a person to share a healthy relationship with. You may consistently attract the wrong person in your life over and over again. In order to break this cycle of self-destruction, you must first realize what you're doing. You are attracting wrong people. But why? Think on that. Study your childhood. Study a little bit of your life and think about that for a moment. Do some self-evaluating. It requires knowledge, desire, self-esteem, and courage to break the cycle of old familiarity. You have to make a conscious effort to seek out alternative types because you know the type you typically are attracted to, and you know from past experience where that road will take you. So we need to try something different. Always remember that healthy relationships are formed by people who are kind, honest, genuine, loving, and giving. Let me repeat those things again. For those of you that are contemplating another relationship, be looking for people who are genuinely kind, honest, sincere, loving, and giving. Consistently those things. That doesn't mean that these people are perfect, because there is no perfect person, but only the perfect person for you. In relationships, these people will give as much as they take. That's what you're looking for. Someone to share that relationship with you. Someone to give as much as they take. And vice versa, you want to be the same. If you're used to being in a long series of bad relationships, then finding the right one will take a little extra time and effort on your part. But do not be discouraged. To be able to move on, one has to learn to forgive not only the person or people who have wronged you, but you must learn to also forgive yourself. And sometimes, ultimately, that can be the hardest part. forgiving yourself. You are not responsible for anyone else's actions or behaviors, folks. You are not responsible for anyone else's actions or behaviors. You are only responsible for your own life. Yours. You're only accountable to yourself and the good Lord above. So, you can't keep blaming somebody else for your dysfunction. Life is really about moving on. Are you haunted by your past? Whether it is your own regret because someone wronged you or whether you have made bad choices, you have to find a way, folks, to let it go. You have to. There are so many things that could go wrong in relationships. I always say, though, that it takes two to make a relationship work or to fall apart. It cannot always be one-sided, and it can be especially difficult to make a relationship work if one or both of you bring emotional baggage into the relationship from previous relationships. It can be very emotional, confusing, frustrating, and painful. Sometimes you need to ask forgiveness from someone to make things right. But at other times, you need to forgive yourself and or the other person. How do you do that? Forgiveness isn't something you do for someone else, folks. It's something that you do for yourself. When you forgive, it doesn't mean you approve of what happened. Rather, it means that you're giving yourself permission to move on. It does not, I can't stress this enough. It does not mean that you approve of what happened. Because a lot of people get stuck on that and they think, well, if I forgive someone, then I'm just agreeing that it's okay for them to treat me that way. No, that is what society has taught you to believe. But it is not true. Rather, it is giving yourself permission to move on. It's very important to remember these next few things that I'm about to mention. Forgiveness is a choice. Don't wait for it to just wash over you all of a sudden, because it won't. You have to choose it. There have been a few people in my life that I've had trouble dealing with, and it's been hard for me to forgive some folks in my life. So I know, I understand where you're coming from. But I've come to a point, I can't say that I've probably totally 100% forgiven this one person in particular. But I can honestly say I'm probably 98% there. I have worked many, 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 many years with myself on this matter. And I'm here to tell you, forgiveness is a choice. And the feeling of forgiveness will not just readily wash over you. You do have to choose it. Don't give your power away. The pain of what has happened is very real. But continuing to suffer or make someone else suffer for your choices is optional. Let me read that one again. Wow. The pain of what has happened is very real. But continuing to suffer or make someone else suffer for your choices is optional. The only person you can control is you. By reliving the past, you're only giving your power over to the person who wronged you. Number 3, don't cling to negative feelings. Don't cling to negative feelings. Anger is nothing more than an outward sign of hurt, fear, guilt, grief, and frustration. I ask myself these things on those days that when I get angry over something or I get upset. I will ask myself those things. Am I really angry? Or am I reacting out in such a way as a kind of a survival mechanism? Because truly, maybe I'm afraid of something. Maybe someone hurt my feelings with something they said. Maybe I feel guilty over something that I have done. Maybe I'm simply frustrated over something not going as I had planned. Or maybe I'm grieving something. Folks, I ask you, next time you feel anger, ask yourself where that anger is really coming from. Are you really, really angry? Or is there some other underlying emotion, such as hurt, fear, grief, and frustration? And anger is simply the survival mechanism. 95% of the time, I can truly say that if I'm completely honest with myself, I'm not angry with anyone except for maybe myself. But I'm feeling one of these underlying emotions, and I become defensive because I don't want to show my vulnerability. So I want you to think on that for a minute. Number 4, there is no right timeline for recovery. For some people, making peace comes easier. For others, it takes time and effort. Sometimes we get impatient with ourselves and we think, why can't we just get past this? What's our hang-up? Why is this bothering us so much? We can become impatient and we just want to be done and over with and we just want to move on. There is no right timeline for recovery, folks. It's God's timing, not ours. When He says we're done, we're done. Until that time, we have to find a way to make peace with that, with whatever's happened to us. And we have to give ourselves time to heal. It takes time and effort, folks. You may have to make a conscious effort every day to forgive. You may have to tell yourself every day, I'm going to let go of this. I'm going to let go of this. Make a choice today not to invest any more of your time in hatred, bitterness, anger, fear, resentment, betrayal, loss of trust, or brokenness. Make a choice today that you're not going to invest any more time, any more of your life in these negative feelings. You can find healing and closure and forgiveness, I promise you. Number 5, you can't change the things that have happened to you in your life, but you can decide how you respond to those things today. Number 6, listen to your own internal conversations. What are you saying to yourself? Write everything down without censorship. Is what you're saying to yourself fair and true? Are you filled with stinking thinking? Someone may have said or did something to you many, many years ago, and perhaps you have taken over for them when that relationship ended. And now you talk to yourself in the same way that they talked to you. Maybe they belittled you, berated you, made you feel stupid. Maybe they said you were fat or you were ugly. And once the relationship ended, you began to take over where they left off, and now you're calling yourself stupid, fat, ugly. Don't do that. That's behind you now, and it's not true. 7, consider what it would take for you to get closure with the situation and go about doing that. What would it take for you to get over these feelings? Think on that. Consider what it would take for you to be able to get over your hurt. And try to go about doing that. And my favorite, share your experiences with others. Finding a lesson in what happened can help put the experience behind you. It can be great therapy. Let me say that again. Share your experiences with others. Finding a lesson in what happened can help put the experience behind you. It can be a great self-therapy. It can help you put things into proper perspective. People can thrive and know that we can all suffer at the same time, that we're not in the boat alone. I always say, let your mess be a message to someone else. And I fully, fully believe that with all my heart. It is possible to heal, to forgive, to get beyond bad relationships, to be healthy, to find closure for in or all circumstances. I totally believe there is hope. Folks, I would not be doing the show, the Hope Show, if I did not believe that there is hope out there. I totally believe it can be done. I am walking proof. I have had several such experiences in my life, but one really stands out to me far more than the rest. I was in a physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually abusive relationship for 3 years. There were good times too, but it's always easier to remember the not so good times. That was a very rough, challenging 3 years. Being controlled, being fearful, doing things I didn't approve of, being beat up 3 or 4 times a week, being kept awake all night and not going to work and going to work with no sleep the next morning, being pulled up out of my bed in the middle of the night by my hair, going to work with my face black and blue. Folks, no amount of makeup can cover that. Bruises on my breasts, my legs, my arms. Losing friendships and being isolated from my family. Living dirt poor in horrible environmental conditions. This dark, evil spirit settling into my mind. Speaking to and disrespecting those that I love the most. Abusing alcohol to numb the pain of my situation. And then, the very, very worst. Remembering being so far mentally gone that I would stand over the bed every morning before work, thinking of such evil, evil thoughts and deeds. And I had just enough mental faculty about myself to know that I was in desperate need of help, because I kept having visions of my own death or living my life in jail for doing some awful deed. I chose to leave, and I never looked back, folks. But you know, crazy thing about all that, today, that same person, I'm friends with that person again. We keep in touch. I still love him, but not in the same way as before. I do not wish to see anything bad to ever happen to him. When I see him, I give him a hug. I have forgiven him. I know he was sick in those days. Will I ever forget the relationship and the toll it took on me? No. I won't forget. Am I still haunted by the relationship? Perhaps a little bit. For over the past 11 years, I have taken a prescription called Trazodone. It helps me to sleep at night. And sometimes I even chase it down with a little nighttime, and I would not recommend that, folks. That's probably not too smart. It's probably a little dangerous. But it's the only way I can sleep. Since that relationship, I've been with my husband Shaziz for a little over 11 and a half years now. And to this day, I'm a very, very light sleeper. Even in sleep, the mind doesn't forget. I hear every noise around me. Without the sleep aid, and sometimes even with the sleep aid. But I am a survivor, folks. I am a survivor. I always have been, and I always will be. I refuse to let anyone else have that inner power over me again. I give no one permission to hurt me anymore. Remember what I said earlier, when people are in your life for a reason, a season, or a lifetime? I believe he was there possibly for a reason or a season. He was there to teach me some life lessons. And not about the abuse, but that did teach me how strong I really am. There were other lessons to be learned, and I learned them. You know, I got in a relationship with him because of some prior mistakes, and I believe that God sent him to me to learn a lesson from the prior mistake. But not in the abusive way, but in the good times that we had, the things that he taught me. Now, I speak out against abusive relationships. I tell my testimony, hoping it will help someone else, hoping it will be a light onto someone else's path, hoping it will give some other person courage to do what they know that they must do. Hoping that someone can relate to my situation and see how far that the good Lord has brought me, and know that they too can make it through any trial, tribulation, or storm in their life. The one thing that I want you to take away today is this. No one can hurt you without your permission. People come with all kinds of baggage from their own past life, and we are all on different journeys. Yet the same journey as far as wanting and needing to be loved, respected, connected with another human being, accepted. Maybe this will help you to find forgiveness in your heart. Remember these things. Just like us, that other person was trying to just get through the day, just trying to get through their life, just like us. Just like us, the other person had their own needs and wants and desires, goals and dreams, just like us. Just like us, that other person has also been through pain and disappointment. And they are trying to heal also, just like us. Just like us, we all want to feel connected, respected, accepted. We all want grace and mercy and love. We all need permission once in a while to make mistakes and allow these people the time to right the wrong. No one is perfect. We all make mistakes. Not one of us is perfect. So let not one of us cast the first stone. Folks, we can't keep beating a dead horse. The past is the past. We can't change it. We don't live there anymore. We can only change today. Today is all we have, folks. And we are not guaranteed a tomorrow. Live your life. Live your life with peace, joy, and happiness. Stop letting the past rob you of the present. Haven't the scars of broken relationships and dysfunctional families held you back long enough? Haven't these things robbed you enough of your life? Relationships are all about risk-taking. Sometimes you have to decide to get back out there and get your feet wet. I'm going to go ahead and take another short break and play a few songs. And when I return, Shaziz will be joining me here, and then the lines will be open for the callers. And my first song here is Set Me Free by Casting Crowns.
Dark ones came, stole my mind, wrapped my soul in chains. Now I live among the dead, fighting voices in my head, hoping someone hears me crying in the night. Crying in the rain, all alone with my demons I am. Who is this man that comes my way? The dark ones shriek, they scream his name. Is this the one they say will set the captive free? Set me free.
The opener rise to a bright new morn. Some are very kind, some are very sweet. Some walk into our hearts in that special way and stay by our side all along the way. Sometimes the road goes out closer. Sometimes the road goes down. Sometimes it just twists and turns, and what you give always comes around. Sometimes the weather is fair, at times there are clouds above. It's nothing that you meet along the way that you can't overcome with love. The journey of life is like a beautiful song. Stop and look at the flowers as they sing along. Hear the words of the moonlight and the starlight too, and good wishes of all those who care for you. As we travel along, there are lessons we learn. There are races to run, there's a living to learn. There are crossroads and shortcuts and speed bumps too, but the king of the road is the one who is true. The journey of life starts the day we are born, as we open our eyes to a bright new morn. The road ahead stretches far and long, and we all get a choice to ride or run. Along the road there are people we meet. Some are very kind, some are very sweet. Some walk into our hearts in that special way and stay by your side all along the way. And stay by your side all along the way. And stay by our side all along the way. And stay by our side all along the way.
Welcome back, everyone. It's good to have you here on the Hope Show. And now Shaziz is joining me, and if any of you want to call in, now would be a good time to do that. We'd love to hear everybody and hear what they have to share with us. Shaziz, do you have anything to say on this topic?
Yeah, if you call in, just use my Skype address. We share it. Anyway, as far as relationships and all that, and being able to mend old relationships, a lot of it starts with something as simple as you teach people how to treat you. And we sometimes on these networks we talk about how the government's abusing everybody and how people abuse everybody. But it all starts off with how much you allow somebody to do to you will determine on how they treat you from that point on. And, you know, outside of the criminal activity where, you know, somebody just yanks you off the street, mugs you, and abuses you or whatever like that, I'm talking about your just average relationships, your wife, your family, and your governments and stuff like that, is that you get in a pattern where you say, you know, it's okay. And sometimes the ladies in the abusive relationships, they're stuck in the pattern because they don't believe they got anywhere to go, or they've been made to feel like they are worthless and nobody else would want them, which is not the case at all. And so inadvertently, what they end up doing is staying, and by staying, they end up telling that person that, oh, it's okay, you know, you can get drunk and beat me up and then apologize later, and I'll just blame it on myself, and everything's fine. Well, it's not fine, because you are not happy. So what you got to realize is that when you teach people how to treat you in that method, whether it's inadvertently or direct,
you have to do it right from the beginning.
Yeah, you have to nip it in the bud before it ever even starts. If somebody starts, doing something that you disagree with, you got to stand up for yourself, because it's your life, it's your body. Nobody has the right to do anything to you that you don't agree to. And so, you know, with that said, You got to empower yourself, and that's what it's about here on the Shaziz Radio Network and the Hope Show, is to show people you can empower yourself. You're not powerless. You're not worthless, and there's people out there that are willing to lend you an ear. Her program that she started up, where you can write her an anonymous letter, and she'll tell you, she's been down some roads. She don't know everything there is to know, but what she doesn't know, she can research and help you through the problems that you got. So if it's a program that you can use, please, by all means, write her a letter. Tell her what's on your mind. Heck, write me a letter. Contact me on Skype or whatever. The contacts are there. There's people in all these different networks. We got No Borders, We Roar, and Shaziz Radio Network, and Awake Radio, and restreaming through multi other places. So there's friends available out there for you. You just got to just take advantage of it. Jump in the chat room. Throw a comment in there and say hi. You know, you can go to www.shaziz.com or shazizradio.com, or you can jump over to awakeradio.uk or No Borders. You know, Google it. It's there. The help is actually out there for you. So, you know.
And my email address, if you want to if you want to utilize those services for my Dear Hope Show, my email address is bjmiller342000@yahoo.com, or you can simply go to www.shazizradio.com, go to my podcast page, Hope for Beverly, and on there you will find a little picture of a quill pen in the lower left-hand corner. If you click on that, that'll take you to my email address as well.
And another really important point to point out is we have a really amazing thing going on here. You need to use these networks. If you're just listening in out there and you can't get to the phone right now or Skype or whatever, you can always call in later. It don't have to be during the show. You know, you can listen to a podcast if something strikes you that you need to talk about it or whatever. You can still get a hold of us. But the key is that the listeners out there, tell your friends on Facebook. Tell your friends on YouTube. You know, if you like what we're doing here, help us promote all these networks. You know, alternative energy, alternative medicine, alternative media, all of them. Help us promote them with your connections out there. Let other people know. See, and that's where I'm saying that you're just as powerful as everybody else out there, because you have a lot of friends. Those friends have a lot of friends. And if you want to get anything better going on in this world, what better way to do it than start telling your friends about networks out there such as Awake Radio, No Borders, and Shaziz Radio, and so on down the line, that are people just like yourself that are actually trying to make a difference in the world. So, you know, make those Skype calls. Call in and let Beverly know you're listening in, and jump on the chat room and throw some messages or smiley faces in there. And if you ain't able to do that right at the time because you're either at work listening or, you know, driving down the road listening or whatever, just remember the address. You can Google Shaziz and you'll find connections everywhere, from Facebook to YouTube to, you know, radio networks, and all these networks are linked together. There's shows and hosts that will tell you different hosts that are on the radio shows. And there's also other alternative radio networks. So if you don't like what you're hearing on this radio network, you can change the channel right here on this network. You can go listen to an alternative radio station who might be talking about something that you're more interested in. The key point is just to get all the information out to whoever needs it and is wanting to listen and whatever. So that's what it's all about. It's about we the people from all nations coming together to do what it is that we're doing. And just like Beverly's, the name of her show, Hope, you know, don't discount hope, because without hope, all's lost. And as long as we are doing what we're doing and you're doing what you're doing, there is hope for a better world. We don't have to sit by idly and allow the world to abuse us, the people of the world to abuse us, the governments, and so on and so forth. So, you know, what more can I say?
And, you know, there's no reason for you to suffer out there either, because as Shaziz said, you know, there is a whole network of friends out there. And so surely you can find, out of millions of people, you can find one person on these networks to listen to you and be your mentor or you know, things of that nature. And with today's technology, a lot of us have phones that are like mini computers. And so if you don't have a home computer, you can always listen to your iPhone as well and listen to these messages and contact us via that as well.
Beverly did a show about labels, and for God's sake, don't allow anybody to label you, and do not label yourself. I'm fat, I'm ugly, I'm stupid. Don't allow anyone to degrade what it is that is you. Because when you do that, you perpetuate. You taught the world that you agree that you're stupid, and so you're going to allow the world to dumb you down or treat you badly or whatever. You know, no. You stand up and you tell yourself how proud of yourself is. When you look in the mirror, you know it's you. All right, the real you is there. And so, with that said, don't label yourself. Don't allow anyone else to label yourself. And don't think that you're powerless. You have friends out there all over the globe. People just like you. They may have big ears, too. They might have a big nose. They might be Jolly Rolls, too, you know. Hey, there's people out there. There's a lot of good-hearted individuals, and they all don't come in a pretty little package.
You know, the society you see on television, that these size 2 and 3, you know, women, they'd like to tell you that's the norm. But in reality, you know, women have curves, you know, and that's, it's more typical that you're going to find a size 12, 14, 16, or an even 18. That's more realistic in today's society. And I read something a couple of days ago that, it was an interesting little tidbit, and so I just want to throw that out there for you women out there in the audience, that I'd never really thought of it this way, but it really is a good point. If you have daughters out there, do not talk about you're fat in front of them. I mean, not that you're telling them that they are fat, but don't even cater to the idea in front of your children if you think you're yourself as being fat. Don't say to your children in a conversation, "Mommy's fat, you know, I need to lose some weight," because that is giving your daughters the wrong idea, you know. So don't do that in front of your children. Don't say that in front of your children, because that is sending them a wrong message, and you do not want them to pick that up and do that when they become an adult.
Well, it essentially gives them a crutch to criticize themselves. And you don't want to give them a crutch to criticize themselves. If you're not pleased with the way you look, you know, hey, work on it. Do some chin-ups, some push-ups, run around the block or whatever. If you're too tired to run around the block, do like that little kid on the commercial and call Grandma up and ask for a grape soda.
That would not be advised. That should come with a warning label. Disclaimer.
I'm just saying, you know, don't torment yourself thinking that you ain't worthy or you ain't beautiful, because you are beautiful, and that's all there is to it, you know. And there's people out there going to love you just as much no matter what you look at like. Get on the doggone Skype and call people. Get on the networks, the social networks, and meet with people. You'll find out there's people out there just like you, and all they want is the same thing you want, is to be recognized. I'm a person. I'm here. And so, you know, there's connections out there to be made. You know, and don't just put yourself on the internet. Go out there and put yourself out in real world. You know, be you to the next door neighbor. Say hi to your friends, or say hi to a total stranger as you're going down the road. Don't fall into all that. You know, you better not talk to somebody because they might be nuts or a terrorist and they might hurt you or whatever.
And another thing that I want to mention, you know, everybody knows this, but does everybody really know this? I mean, it's really a no-brainer, but, you know, men and women, they are not the same. They don't think the same. They don't have the same needs. And so, you know, I don't want to leave out the men in my audience either. the men in the audience have all these same issues too. They may just not speak about it as much as women do, but you know, a woman, she's more of an emotional person, and she wants to talk. She wants to, you know, be cuddly and affectionate and all these other things.
And shout for hours.
Yeah, maybe. I don't particularly. I'm not a shop person so much, unless you put me in a thrift store. But
men are strategic. They run in and run out like it's a combat mission.
But men, on the other hand, they're more visual, you know, and so they don't care about all that lovey-dovey, cuddly kind of thing for the most part. I mean, I'm sure that doesn't apply to all men out there.
They don't count that out.
But, you know, mostly, you know, where we want emotional needs met by talking and you know, spending time with and so on and so forth, men's needs are different. Their number one priority is to be honored and respected. And so keep that in mind whenever you're...
The biggest one is to feel value.
Exactly, you know. So for a man who's been in a bad relationship, the very best thing that you can do for them is to validate their feelings, to make them feel honored, respected, accepted, you know.
And men have man powers and man skills. And they have a man cave. Yeah, tell that to a woman, you get that response. Oh, man.
But just, you know, realize, you know, keep in mind, you know, whenever you are in a relationship or when you're just coming out of a relationship and going into another relationship, you know, try to give each other permission to make some mistakes, you know, and try to give them a little extra time to right the wrong. Don't just immediately jump to conclusions, whether you're a man or a woman. Just don't do that, because you got to remember, you're not the first person that they have been with. You know, they may have been with one person, they may have been with two or three people, they may have just been with one person in a relationship but had a really bad childhood. You know, you don't know where each other's coming from when you're first meeting. And you got to try to understand and put yourself in that other person's position, you know. What have they dealt with in their life? What has happened to them? You know, why are they acting the way they are, behaving the way they are, thinking the way they are? You know, don't just automatically think that a relationship is about me, 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 because it's not. It takes two in a relationship. It takes two to work. It takes two to fall apart.
Yeah.
And
the best role model is your own mommy and your own daddy. So if you have children and you want your children to grow up to have faith in themselves and hope in themselves, you encourage those children to believe in themselves. Yeah. And then we wouldn't have to talk about this stuff.
It's as I said earlier, you know, this is what Shaziz is saying. You know, I said earlier in my show that if you come from parents who are loving, attentive, kind, respectful toward each other, and they don't argue in front of their children to speak of and all these things, then chances are, you know, when you grow up to be an adult yourself, you're going to have a pretty healthy self-esteem and confidence about yourself, and you're going to have a better chance of meeting someone who is like-minded. But if you come from a relationship where there's no respect between your parents, all you're hearing is arguing and fighting and fussing, and as a child you're feeling, you know, lost and lonely and your needs aren't being met at the basic level and things, then when you get out there in the world and you start trying to find somebody in a relationship, that's the role model that has been set before you, and therefore you're not going to know any better. You have that example and that example alone, and so whenever you go into the world, you are more likely to repeat those same mistakes as your parents did.
Yeah, if you tell your children that they're stupid because they did something stupid, they're going to tell their children that they're stupid because they did something stupid. However, you tell your children that wasn't a very good idea and explain to them why, then they will break that chain that we're talking about, you know, of the cycle of abuse that will continue from basically people teaching each other how to treat each other. The child don't have no choice as far as when he's being raised up by his mama, but as he gets out into adulthood, that's when it goes from what he had in the past to his choice that he'll have to learn from that on out.
And that's how people end up repeating the cycle and continuing to fall into the same trap of meeting like people, you know, and that's how your relationship, sometimes you have more than one failed relationship because you just don't have a better example in your childhood, and you just don't know enough about yourself and about relationships and things of that nature to build on to make the next thing better. But there is hope out there for that. You can heal, and you can do some research and some self-help, and you can break that cycle for the next generation and for your children, and it doesn't have to remain the way it has been. You can move forward and build a better relationship for yourself and for your children, for their relationships in the future. And I know this is kind of going off into left field, so to speak, even though it's kind of going back to the labeling situation, but it's in the opposite extreme. You also have to be careful what you tell your children, too, because you don't always want to say, oh, you're my little princess, or oh, you're so beautiful, or oh, you're so smart, or, you know, these things either, because you can go to the extreme in praise in that way, too. And then they'll grow up thinking, you know, oh, I'm a princess, and, you know, or I'm this, or I'm that. And then you've got a person who can't really deal with criticisms or things of that nature.
Yeah, there's a fine-tuned balance in there, and it's up to you to find it. You just got to think. Like they say, for every action is an equal and opposite reaction, and it looks like your time's going down there, so I'll better let you have your show back so you can wrap her up.
Yes, it is getting about that time. I got about 7-8 minutes here on the Hope Show, and so I'm going to go ahead and wrap this up today and play you a couple of tunes. I'm really happy that all of you were able to join me today. Thank you, Shaziz, for being a part of the Hope Show, as always. And so, everyone, I hope you've gotten something out of this message. I hope everyone has been able to take something away from this message that they can use for their future.
Don't forget about your man powers.
There again, you know, I've launched this new program called Dear Hope. My email address, bjmiller34200@yahoo.com. Please take advantage of that. You know, please use that as a resource for yourself. I don't claim to know everything, but I sure can. I can talk to you and I can listen. And if I don't know something, like Shaziz said, I can research it. And together we can get through whatever it is that's troubling you today. So until we meet again next time, next Saturday, same time, same place, God bless each and every one of you. And Shaziz and I love all of you so much. And so I'm going to go ahead and play a couple of songs up out of here. One of them is Search My Heart by Hillsong. And the last one I'm going to play is I Hope You Dance.
Man powers.
Don't listen to him.
Else that I want more. Shine your
give the heavens above more than just a passing glance. And when you get the choice to sit it out or dance, I hope you do. Small when you stand beside the ocean. Whenever one door closes, I hope one more opens. Promise me that you'll give faith a fighting chance. And when you get the choice to sit it out or dance.